One of the things to notice about the baptism of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke is that Jesus is just one of the crowd. He is coming out with all kinds of people to hear what John has to say. And this is particularly interesting and fascinating, I think, because it implies really that all of the Jewish people together, of which Jesus is a part, have this deep desire, this deep expectation, this hoping, this longing that God is up to something. And maybe it's because of the particularly difficult time they've been having under the Roman occupation, and maybe the same can be said for us when we undergo incredibly difficult or strenuous circumstances. We begin to wonder and ask and look for what God is up to. Well, when we arrive at the scene, and when Jesus is finally baptized, there is this voice from heaven of God that comes down and that's heard. Now, in the Jewish tradition, they have a term for this, this voice with no body, this voice that is assumed to be God's voice. It's called the Bat Kol. Well, the Bat Kol means something like the daughter of a sound. It's often described as sort of a voice or a sound that accompanies all other sounds. My voice, your voice, the rustling in the pew, even the sound of silence. One of the ways that I've even thought about the Bat Kol is, especially when you're listening to music, is that you know, have notes that when played together make up this chord, and it's almost a you can hear the way that things sort of blend together, that there's sort of a sound in between the sounds. Some people have described the Bat Kol, the daughter of a sound, as the hum of the universe. In the story for today, the hum of the universe speaks about Jesus. And it says, this is my son, the beloved. With him, I am well pleased. But this voice, and I think Jesus' role, is to show us that this is actually meant for all of us. We are sons and daughters of God. We are beloved. With us, God is well pleased. Nadia Boltz-Weber, who's a Lutheran pastor, but edgy one at that, in Denver, talks about the importance of coming to worship every week and talks about the beauty of that confession and assurance that we do, right, we just did not long ago. And the reason she says it is because it's, you know, so important to hear that voice every week, that voice of God's grace and steadfast love that is given to us. She says, because there are so many voices that are telling us what to be and who we are. So many voices telling me how to be a father, right? A good father. So many voices telling me what a good pastor is supposed to be. So many voices telling you what a good, what, spouse, teacher, or lawyer, worker. Voices that tell us what we really need to be happy. But the story of the passage, and I think what Nadia Boltz-Weber is getting at, is that only God gets to tell us who we really are. There's a story about a little girl who is in lower elementary school, and her parents tell her that she's going to have a baby brother, and she is over the moon excited. She can't wait for the day that her baby brother comes, and then the day finally arrives, and they bring the baby home from the hospital, and she is just glued to him. But then she begins to act kind of strange, and she asks for something that's a little bizarre. She says to her parents, she says, I want you to go away. I want to be alone with my baby brother. Now, generally, the sister has been really excited about her brother and been nice, and so they weren't really too worried. But, you know, you have heard things about sibling rivalries, and it seems a little unwise to leave a child, a young child, alone with a baby. But she insisted. She kept on saying, I want to be alone with my baby brother. And so as they got to thinking about this, the parents realized, well, we have one of those monitors in his bedroom. So they took the baby and they laid him in his crib, and they let the daughter be in the room alone, and they left and quickly hurried down the hallway to their monitor so they could quickly listen to anything that was going on. And they heard her shut the door and then walk footsteps, probably going over to the crib. And then what seems that she must have leaned over, because she begins basically to whisper, and she says, tell me about God, because I've almost forgot. I love that story, because it tells us something that I think intrinsically we know about God. We can hear that hum of the universe. But very quickly, at a very early age, we begin to hear other voices that speak to us, that tell us who we are and who we're not. That I think at our most honest moments, we long to hear those words, the girl, right? Somebody, tell me about God. Because I've almost forgot. I wonder if that's not what brought the people out to hear John. It's Jesus, right? One of the crowd. They're all coming out. You've got tax collectors, you've got soldiers, you've got all kinds of people. And they're asking a question that is clearly a marker that they've lost their identity, right? They say, tell us what to do. And I love John's responses, because they're both practical and profound. Live generously. Live justly with each other. But there's one more thing that I think we have to realize about baptism. Not only does it remind us of our identity, right? Who you are, the simply, at your most basic, you are wonderfully made, you're beautifully made, you are a child of God. But it also tells us about who we are and what we are supposed to do. That your identity is really a part of our identity. Prophets, the good ones, you know? It's like they're so in tune to that bot call, that voice of God, the hum of the universe, that when they hear, they can speak it to us, and there's something deep down inside of us that knows it's true. And this is where Jesus comes in, because he becomes the embodiment of this, the voice, the word of God. Not just to show us who we are, but whose we are. And even more, how we should live. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand together and sing hymn 463.